There we go. All right. There's still no PowerPoint, you'll notice. And that's the joke this morning is on me, because I have probably one of the more complicated messages that I wanted to share. And PowerPoint would really help, but we're going to get through it. That's the way Spirit works.
Email it to everybody.
Pardon? Yeah, okay, that's right. So this morning, what I want to talk about is the idea of a self-aware universe. And I'm going to be doing this over 2 weeks. Today I want to talk more about the scientific approach to, not a self-aware universe, but scientific approach to who and what we are and how we developed. And in Newtonian physics, everything developed from atoms. And in that day and time, atoms were thought to be solid. But along came a science called quantum physics. And quantum physics, first book I read on it was the Dance of the Woolly Masters by Gary Zukav. And a bookstore manager suggested I read it. And I was pretty amazed, because I hadn't read anything of that nature since I took biology in college. And I don't think I read a lot of that or understood a lot of that, to be honest. It wasn't my thing, okay? History was good, but not biology. But we got through it. And as I read that, it started to open up a whole new world to me of understanding myself, literally, and understanding who I was and how my body and my mind and my heart operated together. But first, I think it's important to understand what quantum physics has brought to us. Now, most of us can envision, I had a picture of it, that in quantum physics, it's all about the study of subatomic particles. That the atom is actually more space than it is solid. And that what happens is that we have electrons and neutrons and protons, and that within this atom, they work with each other through electromagnetic pulse. And the reason that becomes important, I think, is because the quantum physicists, that's what they study. That's what they look at. Now, I don't know, but, you know, I don't know if I could spend all day and a whole life looking at that, but they do. And they do a great job. And what's happened is that the world of transistors or a lot of things that happen in space flight have all come from the theory of quantum physics. So it's an important science today. And quantum physicists also have a great discussion, depending who you're talking to, on is there a God or is there not a God? Is there consciousness or is there not consciousness? And there are two groups primarily. One group would be called the material group. They look at things from a materialistic standpoint. And what it says basically is that everything has to have an atom attached to it. Everything. So the way they explain consciousness is that consciousness comes from the brain, and that the brain operates at such a level that it creates a consciousness within us. But they don't see the brain being affected by anything else. Whereas in unity, as many of you know, we would say that divine mind actually guides the brain and controls the brain when we allow it to do so. And the importance of that, of course, is that if you believe everything has to have an atom attached, then that kind of takes away the idea that, you know, we have this thing called consciousness, and that the consciousness gives us a sense of self-awareness. And that self-awareness is transcendent, as far as I'm concerned. And what happens is that because we are self-aware, the universe is self-aware. That's what brings us together. That's what connects us. That's what keeps us in alignment with our values and who we are and how we can treat one another and be in the presence of one another and inspire one another and respect one another. But the materialists would say, no, there's no such thing as consciousness. The brain makes it up. And I know most of you would say, that's not where I am, okay? But there are people there. I heard Richard Dawkins speak at VCU many years ago, and there was another fellow that did a debate. One of the things I learned from it, the fellow was a scientist or biologist who, like Richard Dawkins, who also was not an atheist, and he believed the traditional Christian teachings. And the two of them would discuss it. What I heard Dawkins say as an atheist was, I don't really believe in that kind of God. But he made an interesting statement during that talk. He did believe that the universe had a design to it. It wasn't just coincidence, but there was, if you looked at the universe, it was design driven. And I thought, and he didn't say this, but I thought about it. I said, you know, if something is design driven, then there must be a designer. That would make sense, right? And actually, when we get down to it, you and I are the designers of our universe. I just imagine that each of us sees another person in a different way and recognizes people in a different way. Maybe to one of us, the person has a longer nose, and to the other one has a flatter nose, but it's the same person. However we happen to perceive and see what we're looking at. And so what that led to was the idea of the ideal. I'll get the word in a second. The materialist and then the idealist, okay? The idealist is one who does believe in the science, but also believes that there is something underlying that called consciousness. And that as we understand and look at that consciousness, we begin to see and can define what consciousness is. And consciousness basically is the individual awareness of your thoughts, memories, feelings, sensations, and environments. Essentially, your consciousness is your awareness of yourself and the world around you. Also, interesting enough, your consciousness is also connected to and involved in your DNA. Because your DNA collects memories, collects thoughts, and actually has an idea within it of your past experiences, who you are, and how you're made up. And so if we take a look at that, we find that maybe there's more to this than one thought. You see, again, in a material universe, there's no room for consciousness. In the ideal universe, there is this thought that there is more to it than meets the eye. There is a metaphysical part to the universe, and we certainly know something about that. And as we study that and understand that, we begin to understand, again, back to the idea that something about the universe is in order. And, you know, that brings us to a lot of ideas and thoughts. For example, what is universal law? Well, universal law is basically the way in which we can appropriately be in the universe, appropriately be in our skin, and appropriately be able to deal with our lives in a spiritual and loving and caring manner. It means I can look at myself and say, I love myself. It means I can look at myself and say, I love myself, but I'm not acting like it. Right? It means that I can say to you, I love you, and maybe sometimes not act like it. And it's the self-awareness that brings me back to see how I am looking at my life and how am I acting, how am I showing up, that gives me that ability to make corrections and to step back into what I call universal law. And so as we learn to do that, what happens is that we're beginning to learn to live in a self-aware universe. Now, what does this have to do with spirituality? I hope a lot. But it would sound like, if you really look at it from a scientific standpoint, for some scientists who call themselves atheists, and I think some of them, they use the word atheist to rebel against traditional Christian thinking. And they may be right or wrong, but that's what they really use the word for. It's not that they don't believe in something or in themselves or in humanity. It's more that they are looking at one form of religion and saying, that doesn't work for me. So if I can't join that, I must be an atheist. And some of you probably have experienced that, and maybe you're experiencing it today. But really what happens is that we have choices we can make over how we see the design of the universe, how we experience God, how we experience Jesus, how we experience the Buddha. Those are all choices we have. And so we don't have to be in alignment with traditional Christianity, and some may be, and there's nothing wrong with that. Remember, there are many paths to God. But sometimes, you know, when you come from a more traditional background where you feel wounded, you don't think that's one of the paths. But it really is, for the right person under the right circumstances. My mother and I used to sit up nights, and she read Lessons in Truth, and she read a few other things. And this was after I came to ministry. And we used to sit up at nights talking about different ideas and different thoughts. But she said to me one night, and we didn't argue about it. You didn't argue with my mother. Okay, I knew better. But we sat up one night, and we talked about, in Lessons in Truth, some of the ideas behind it, and that maybe, just maybe, within us is our own salvation. And one evening, Mother said to me, you know, Richard, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I love talking about it. But all my life, I have believed that Jesus died for my sins. I consider myself a Christian under that definition. And I'm not going to stop now. She was 84 years old. And I said, I don't want you to. I think you know that's not my objective. We are just discussing what I now believe and sharing it. And so, you know, I used to say she got Christianity through osmosis. She doesn't remember a time ever being going to say, I'm born again. That was a strange statement to her. Because as a little girl, that's what she learned as Christianity. She learned Jesus loves me, this I know. And that's what stuck with her, and that's what she believed, and she came into an understanding of it to the degree that she wasn't going to change it. It'd probably be impossible for her to change it. But she had a sense of self-awareness. She had a sense of, what do I need for me to be in alignment with the, her name was Jean Bunch. And so it's very important for us to have this self-awareness, and at the same time, not to deny science. Charles Fillmore said that science and unity were moving closer and closer together. And when we really got into quantum physics, that's the truth of it. And so we are moving closer and closer together. So what does that mean to us? And, you know, this has been the difficult time of this message for me, because next week I'm going to talk about what I really want to talk about, okay? Is how we are spiritual beings and how that connects with science from my perspective. But what it says from my perspective is that science is important. If we look at the first chapter of Genesis, if you look at it from a metaphysical standpoint, that is really a definition scientists could believe in, again, when you look at it from metaphysical perspective, because it actually follows the laws of evolution. Doesn't say it that way, but underneath, it really does. And so we can use our faith and use our religious beliefs and our principles to support science, and science can also support us based on their particular belief systems. Because Richard Dawkins says I'm an atheist, although I'm a biologist, that doesn't mean that I have to say he's all wrong. It doesn't mean anything except I can learn from him, and then for myself, through my own self-awareness, determine who and what I am. And for me, understanding that has given me some sense of an understanding that I am a part of this universe. You are a part of this universe. And as part of the universe, together we have a collective consciousness. We have an understanding that connects us heart to heart again, that connects our minds together. And we have this electricity. You feel it here very, very, most often, okay? When you come into this sanctuary, even during the week, if I walk in a sanctuary, I feel a sense of energy that I can't explain. Some scientists someday may be able to explain it to me, but I can't explain it because it's there. And it doesn't have any atoms in it. It's pure, pure energy. Next week, I'm going to talk about this idea of how energy and spirituality and science actually come together, with spirituality being the premier idea that brings us again together and supports us in our growth in unity. That's what I love about unity, is I can have varied beliefs that maybe even disagree with some of you, but we still are able to choose and step into what we believe for ourselves. And in doing that, we grow. In doing that, we become more open and less narrow-minded. So I'll finish this next week. Thank you. No PowerPoint. Thank you. So now let's get ready to move into consciousness. I invite you to gently close your eyes. I invite those at home to do the same. And as you close your eyes, understand that still is light. We are not in darkness, because through our breathing and through our consciousness, we are very, very alive. Feel that this morning, that you are very, very alive. In this moment, allow yourself to just be in beingness itself. And feel the energy of a self-aware universe moving in and through you as we sit in the silence. the power of consciousness, we come back to this now moment, understanding that we can take that silence with us and that it will awaken us during these coming days to how we set our intentions and how we show up. And we give thanks for the connection we have experienced. And so it is. In the name of the Christ within, amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace.